All right, I promise this will be more brief than other days. They did leave me a little time. That may be their fault and their problem, so you can blame them, but we will not go very long here. I want to just take a few minutes. We have been, if you're visiting today, the last couple of months we've been studying through the Psalms, and we've been learning the heart of David in many cases, the sons of, who was it, Nahor. Anyway, there's all kinds of different authors. But I wanted to just pick one short one here that stood out to me, and it's called The Last Psalm of David. It's actually not the last psalm that's in Psalms, but apparently it's the last one that we're 100% confident he wrote. Some of them, it's a little iffy as to who wrote it. But this one just jumped out to me. I have just a few brief thoughts. And one of the things that to me was cool about it, and certainly I don't know this, I have to do some reading to find it, but apparently Psalm 145 is an acrostic poem. And an acrostic in English, it would mean like verse 1 would start with A, verse 2 would start with B, verse 3 would start with C, and we know what an acrostic is. Maybe you did that on your Mother's Day card. You spelled Mom Magnificent, Papa, I don't know what you said, but you spell out Mom, and so you feel real cool. But actually they did it, there are, I believe, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so there are actually 23 verses here. There's a little interesting, their letter N, maybe it's like our letter X. Maybe he got to X and thought, who knows how to think of a word that starts with X. But all except one of the Hebrew letters is used. One, it shows, though, that he thought about what he was going to say. He didn't just kind of, jot it down real quickly. But I think the most important reason he did that was for memorization purposes. Back in the day, these were what the Jewish boys, they memorized. I mean, they memorized the entire Pentateuch. From the ages of 6 to 10, they memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I mean, they were no joke back in the day. They memorized God's Word. And so one of the possible reasons that he wrote it in this style is so that it could be more easily memorized, at least for the Hebrews. But one of the lessons that we've been learning is that every day we should just praise God. And sadly, that's not natural for many of us. We kind of, especially in America, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We think, oh, I'm a good student, or I work hard for my money, and we kind of leave God out of the picture. And so we should praise God in public. We should praise Him in private. We should praise Him in the good times. We should praise Him in the bad times. And one of the reasons is because that kind of completes the process. If God is not praised or blessed or thanked at the end of it, it kind of leaves you hanging. And I wanted to just introduce it this way before we read the psalm quickly and look at something. I picked out the Boston Red Sox because they are my wife's favorite team. And so I know this will make Leo and Andrew Zatina, some of the New York boys, this is going to shake you a little bit, but hang in there, okay? We'll be through with this part quickly and we'll go on to the Bible. This is not in the Bible, Leo, so you can handle it. But in 2004, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. Perhaps you're aware of that. Okay, we won't allow the CV family to answer this because they have like every number and everything memorized. But before that, when was the last year that the Red Sox won the World Series? Okay, there we go. All right, we shouldn't have let Nick answer either. Okay, so in 1918, 86 years they waited. Not quite as long as the Cubs, but a long, long wait. Okay. Let's say there were two outs in the bottom of the ninth. They're about to win for the first time in 86 years, and there's an announcement over the loudspeaker. At the conclusion of the game, no one is allowed to cheer. No one may celebrate. There can be no parties. There can be no applause. Please just quietly go home. It'd pretty much spoil the whole thing, right? That's what you're looking forward to, is to kind of going wild and celebrating, rejoicing. It's response to what's happening. If you don't get to respond, It's pretty much a dud. And to me, I'm thinking that's with all that God has done and is doing and even will do, for all that God does in nature, in your family, in our country, for all that God does, if we just kind of plod through life and don't respond to that, I mean, it's just the height of ingratitude, and it misses the completion of the process. And so the Psalms just say over and over, praise God, thank God, celebrate God, bless God, God is good. And let's respond and sing it and celebrate it and say it, or man, it's really a bummer. Both for God and all the hosts of heaven, but even for you, your soul needs to sing and cry out praises to God. And so I wanted to read it actually in the King James Version today for a reason. So you may not have that in front of you. It's on the screen. Let me just read Psalm 145 in the King James. And I've highlighted the word bless, and I'll just mention that particular part this morning. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You can't figure out his greatness. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Far down. They shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glorious majesty of the kingdom. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all those that fall and raiseth up all those that have bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And I wanted to read it in the King James because here's kind of my first point. My first point is bless the Lord. The NIV translates that word a little differently, and if you want to just really impress some friends, I have no idea exactly how to pronounce this, but this phrase, bless the Lord, in the Hebrew is actually Baruch Atah Adonai. Most of us have heard Adonai before. That's the Lord, and bless is Baruch. And so point number one is we should always bless the Lord. You know what's interesting, as I was doing some reading, the Jews were forbidden to enjoy anything without saying a blessing first. And that didn't matter if it was food or if it was your new donkey you were riding or some toy your parents gave you. You couldn't use it until, first of all, you'd said, Baruch Atah Adonai. Bless the Lord. In fact, the Talmud, which is the traditions of the elders book that they had back in Jesus' day, the Talmud said that it would be as if you stole it if you did not bless the Lord first. So if you had a meal and you didn't bless it, it was like you'd stolen that food. If you had a ride on your donkey or whatever you got blessed with, if you didn't say bless the Lord, it was like you were a thief. God had blessed you with something and you didn't say thank you. You didn't praise him. You didn't celebrate. You didn't bless him back. In fact, this was interesting. I, of course, can't go back and count because I don't know Hebrew. But what I read says that Baruch is the most repeated word of the Old Testament. Now, most often, of course, it's more in the phrase of God blessing the Israelites. And so it says that over and over. In fact, right in Genesis chapter 1, after he created man, it says that he blessed him. And so that's kind of the way God started, and all the way through the Old Testament, he blesses and blesses and blesses and blesses. But actually, every now and then, and certainly it's not a majority of the cases, but every now and then he says, then men and women are to bless him back. And that's actually the context of Psalm 145 that we've read. In fact, it means bless the one who has blessed you. Don't just receive the blessings, but bless him back. And the NIV translates this word often praise, or others would say celebrate and adore. And certainly those are great words as well. We should celebrate God, and we should adore God, and we should praise him for all of his blessings. But I just like this idea of that we don't need to just receive blessings from the Lord. We need to bless him back with our lips and with our lives. And here's kind of what it got me thinking. This is the intense part. Do you realize that you and I, we live with either pride or praise. That if we don't praise God and bless Him and thank Him and celebrate Him, really what is that saying? I'm kind of doing this on my own. I am pulling myself up by my bootstraps. I'm pretty awesome. I'm pretty hot stuff. I can do this. I can run a family. I know how to do that. I can work a job. I can crank it through school or whatever's before us. We kind of get that American mentality like, hey, I'm actually pretty awesome and I can do this, while God, who has created us and blesses us, feels kicked to the curb. You will live your life primarily focused on either pride or praise. Which one is it for you and for me? Is this really about you, or is it about the Lord? And one of those intense stories, we could go and look at many of them, but I thought of the story of Job. I've talked to the many people I talk with Job about, because sometimes we feel like, I am Job, and I'm going through those hard times in life. And most of us, certainly myself included, don't come close to Job, but we can relate at some minor level. But you know what's always blown me away about Job is that certainly he, quote, had it all. Then he lost it all, his health, his family, his possessions. And probably my favorite verse in Job, and the one that, at least in my mind, the whole book hinges on, is Job 1:21, which in the King James says, did I have it up there? Oh, here we go. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what has come my way or hasn't, I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. Now, that's easy to do when the money's flowing in and the girl you like is liking you back and, you know, the kids are behaving. It's easy to say, bless the Lord. But in his circumstances, he's like, listen, Why should I be ticked off? I came in the world with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. Okay, I got nothing now. I'm just going to bless the name of the Lord. You know, that's, and even that little phrase, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, if I say certain names to you, if I say Lexus to you, something comes to mind, right? You get a picture in your head. All those advertising dollars they've spent are now at work, right? If I say Tiffany's or, you know, whatever you... People spend millions and millions of dollars trying to get you, when you say their name, you think of all that encompasses that brand, right? But here's what we should be doing. We should be thinking about the name of the Lord and all that that encompasses, who He is. And, you know, it's not just a name. It's who He is and His personality and what He's done and what He will do and His character. You know, there's another interesting little passage. I won't even have you turn over there. But in Jonah chapter 2, we know the story of Job and all of his hardship, and he says, I'm still going to bless God. But in Jonah chapter 2, most of us know that Jonah is swallowed by this big fish. But here's what I'd never seen before. He prays this prayer of praise in Jonah chapter 2. But do you know what the timing of his prayer of praise is? It's before he gets spit out of the big fish's mouth. He's actually in the belly of this big fish saying, I want to praise you, Lord God. I got seaweed wrapped around my head, but I know you're going to pull me through and I'm going to come through all this. And then at the end of his prayer of praise, he gets spit out onto dry land. But I just thought, whoa, I usually wait till after I'm on dry land to do my prayer and a praise. When I'm going through the hard time, I'm doing my little prayer of confession and what's your problem, God, and how come you're not working this out, and why is life so hard for me? But in the belly of the big fish or the whale or whatever it was, Jonah said, you're God. If this guy swallows me and chews me up and spits me out, you're still God. I'm going to bless you. You've helped my life. But I'm going to believe that you're going to carry me through and I'm going to be okay. And there was this prayer of praise, this bless the Lord. It wasn't this... You know, certainly his life got off track and it was all about him for a while. But in the belly of a whale, he said, I'm going to kick pride to the curb and I'm going to praise and celebrate who God is and what he's going to do for me. And so let's close out with this thought. And that is, every day show up for and with God. I mean, that's what David says over and over. Every day will I praise thee. And part of that's for what he's done, but part of it's just for who he is. Just stop and, I mean... The emphasis of Psalm 145 is that God is gracious and God is merciful. So I just stopped and thought about those words for a while. And grace is getting what you Grace is getting what you don't deserve. That's a home in heaven. That's forgiveness of sins. That's friendships and blessings from living in the country that we do. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and that's amazing. And mercy is kind of similar, except the opposite, right? Mercy's not getting what you do deserve. You deserve separation from God and hell and guilt and condemnation and a hard life and a cross that you hang on, not that Jesus hangs on. That's what you and I deserve. But God is merciful. We don't have to go to that cross. God is gracious. He's got a home that He's prepared in heaven for those that love Him. And just you stop and be blown away and bless and praise God for who He is and all that He's done. And I wanted to just kind of even tie this little everyday show up for and with God. And I wanted to, you know, again, I don't want to, when I asked Lincoln if the Gifford family could come, and we actually did this in Hartford once with the Oberle family back in the day, and he was, as Lincoln I knew would be, was like awkward with, oh no, I don't want my family up in lights, like we're the perfect, wonderful family. Here's what I'm telling you. I lived in Hartford for 20 years, and Lincoln Gifford and the Gifford family, every day they showed up for and with God. They just did. And I appreciate his honesty, and really it's not just about Lincoln. I mean, some of my, you know, for almost 20 years, at 6 a.m. every Thursday morning, I sat in a room with Jim Fuda and Bob Oberle and Lincoln Gifford, and Tim Blake came a little later. And first of all, 6 a.m. is about the worst time for me in every area possible. If you're looking for joy and spirituality and love and harmony, that is not the time to be hanging out. So they saw me at my worst every week. But you know, when I met Lincoln Gifford 20 years ago, I met a man with a significant and severe stuttering problem who really wasn't, you know, this big hype. I went to a funeral this week, and the guy that was sharing the funeral said this man was not very flashy. But then he said, you know, Jesus wasn't really all that flashy. And he referred to Isaiah 53, where he had no form or comeliness. He had no beauty that you would just initially be drawn to him. And I'm not sharing that just about Lincoln. He has form and comeliness, of course. He's a very comely kind of guy, okay? The whole Gifford family has talents, what we've seen already. But you know, Lincoln wasn't about hype. And he wasn't about pizzazz. And he didn't just like wow you with his, you know, cool dance moves or anything. When you watch a man who loves God for 20 years, day after day after day, you feel like you're on holy ground. I got to be a part of something amazing and special. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to be the coolest person in the room, or you don't have to be the boldest person in the room, or you don't have to be the anything the most in the room. Would you just every day show up for and with God and do your best to love Him and love your family and love the people around you? And you know what will happen? I'm just telling you. Because you don't believe, a lot of you don't believe this right now. You're like, this is hard and it's never going to work. And uh-oh, my kids, like, they got really cool kids. My kids are like freaky. I mean, we think those kinds of things. And the Gifford kids are awesome, but they all had their moments, as did the Allen kids. They're okay. Come fellowship afterwards. We can tell you some stories. But every day, they hung in there for and with God. And at the end of 20 years, I look back at a family that not only made it through themselves, but have helped really a city and a church turn really their world upside down. From very few disciples to hundreds of disciples in two or three different locations. And, you know, honestly, even the Walters who were visiting from Hartford, they're some of my best friends too. They're just day after day, they love God, they love people, they've hung in there through the years, through the good times and the bad times. And the Hartford Church, the Mahonies were in the Hartford. I'm just telling you, the Hartford Church is not really known for all just the coolest people and the greatest athletes. But you know what? It was a group of committed people who day after day after day, they loved God and they hung in there. And you know what? I'll take that for the hype and pizzazz at the end of the day. And that's God's call to us. Every day, show up for Him. Praise Him with your life. Put Him into your relationships. And at the end of the day, however long that is God gives you, you'll look back and say, worthy is the Lord, and greatly is He to be praised. I will bless your name. Let's live that way. Amen. Thanks for listening.